Hello. Welcome to Weeding Out the Stone, the podcast. I'm Alex Grubard, officer mode today. Say hello to our podcast engineer, Kieran Gannon.
Hey. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Rock and roll. Thanks for being here. And we have a guest today that we are going to interrogate and find everything about them. And maybe we'll see if we can figure out the last time they got stoned. Please welcome Sam Kapp. How you doing, Sam?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're definitely stoned. See, I know right away. Podcast over. I think that's going to happen every time. This is our first time doing it, but I can tell. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Maybe I can't. I can't literally see anything right now that you're doing. So, you know, you're not doing anything right in front of my face. So I can't tell. How are you? Let me ask you, are you stoned?
Am I allowed to answer that? Should I plead the fifth until the end?
Plead the fifth. See, great answer. Great answer. If you had said yes, I would have been like, man, we got you twice. Or who knows? At
not
once
my
for sure.
First rodeo, officer.
There you go. See, you're on top of the ball. I love that. Sam, tell me, you know, where are you originally from? I don't actually know.
I'm from Philadelphia. I'm from the Northeast Philly.
Oh, you're from Northeast Philly. Yeah, not a big pot area at all.
We had mids back in the day. It was total swag with seedling stems up the wazoo.
I got you. That might not necessarily get you to keep smoking on a daily basis forever. If you're like, hey, back in my day, it was garbage.
That's
interesting.
True.
Northeast Philly, was it actually like in city proper? Or was it like a suburb? I'm asking because I know Philly enough to ask that.
Yeah, everyone asks and everyone assumes I'm like a rich Jew from the suburbs, but wow. I'm not. I'm a poor Jew from the city, which is rarity.
That was it.
Yeah, I'm actually from the Northeast. Yes, I'm actually from the Northeast Philly. I went to public school. I didn't go to private school. I went to Northeast High School for public school. So I am real Philly. It was interesting. 4,000 kids. No one cared what I did.
4,000 in your class.
In my school, 1,000 in my graduating class.
That's still huge.
35 per class room. Yeah.
Wow. 35 is too much. Is that the high school where Tony Danza taught?
That is. That happened the year after I graduated.
Dude, I knew that. I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah. We have some cool, there's like a lot of cool things that happened there. And the one thing that happened my senior year was we had this like huge senior prank, which was like a chicken prank. And like we let loose like hundreds of chickens in the school. And they like pooped everywhere and they had to close the school to clean it. We all got the day off and we just got stoned as hell. And we drank and we partied and it was awesome.
Man, stoned up mids even. God.
Off mids.
God, that's okay. Yeah, they canceled school at 9 a.m. it sounds like.
That's crazy.
What a prank. Hundreds of chickens.
Hundreds of chickens.
In the city. That's Northeast Philly though.
Very Philly. We made international news for this prank and it was cool. And the principal knew who did it. And she like winked at me one day and she's like, but I don't care.
Oh man. Cause it was you.
Well, it was like a lot of us in my sort of class. Yeah.
Oh man. Well, there's 1,000 of it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's not hard to form a chicken organization.
That's right. I didn't release any chickens, but I may have donated to the chicken release party.
There was a fund going around.
Exactly.
Very interesting. We did harmless pranks our senior year. I remember we filled up the back of a pickup truck with water and drove it to school. And, so we were up all night just filling up pickup truck beds of pickup trucks. And then we just like swam during the day, like mostly in the morning, but it was like a thing we would go back to a couple of times. And yeah, I don't know. Didn't make the news, but it made the school announcements or whatever.
Right. It made the inner school news. It was a big deal in like your little town. Well, where are you from, Alex?
Oh, I grew up in Concord, Massachusetts. That's where I went to high
school. So a little town.
1,000 kids in the school.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe like 1,200. But, you know, our class was, by the time I graduated, we were the smallest. We were like 250. And then like maybe the biggest was, almost 400. Yeah, small town, Massachusetts. You know, it's a historical town. Shot heard around the world. Henry David Thoreau. It's very famous, almost more famous than Philadelphia, which has barely anything about it than anyone has ever heard of. other than Eastern State Penitentiary. That's the first thing they bring up.
That's so weird.
I'm kidding. No, of course not. Now, Northeast, what would you say the Northeast is most known for? Do you have... As a Philadelphia icon, I have one thing that comes to mind, and it's It's minuscule, honestly. It's not that crazy. I was going to say it's the house that Rocky lives in Philly is actually in, it's like on Lehigh. So not even like that. It's like Kensington anyway. It's not even Northeast.
Kensington these days, it's sort of like people don't realize how Northeast Kensington is of the downtown area. You know, so it really does bleed into the Northeast at a certain point.
For an East Coast city that is in New York City, it has a crazy amount of land. You know, it's like a big city. It goes on for a long time. You know, and this is a fact I throw at a million people all the time. Philadelphia once was just Center City, and the county was all these other towns. So we now know as neighborhoods. And there was a fire. And it was in one town, but the firehouse for the town over was like closer, and like the whole neighborhood burnt down. Cool. It was like Northern Liberties or something. This is like the early 1800s. And a judge was like, everything in the county is now the city of Philadelphia. And it's both, you know, it kind of makes Philly cool and huge, but it also causes a lot of problems. It's actually like people represented in Philadelphia are represented like, it's kind of one of those things where like, oh, a senator in Wyoming represents like 200,000 people, and a councilman in North Philly represents almost 1 million people or whatever, you know, probably more like 400,000 or something. But like, you know, they have bad council representation and stuff like that. Anyway, I don't know. Philly.
It's true. Oh, it's Philly. Best. Pretzels, water ice, I should say, so people know I'm really from Philly.
I guess there's 1 million Ritas up in the Northeast, right?
Yeah, we're like literally not known for anything. There's nothing good in the Northeast. We have Pennypack Park. That's what we got. And I'll say this. When I was a kid, I used to get high AF in Pennypack Park. Yeah. Pennypack Park is a huge park system within the Northeast. It extends for like miles and miles from sort of kind of closer to that Frankfurtish area, and then all the way up through the Great Northeast. So not really towards Frankfurt, but a little bit closer. And it extends really far. It's a really beautiful park inside, but nobody knows about it because it's sort of tucked away in the Northeast. But my friends and I used to go there. There was like an entrance like 3 blocks away from my house. So I would go there every morning before school when I was driving, and I would go over there, drive over. I'd walk in a few feet and I'd like smoke a bowl and then like walk out. And then, like, drive to them school and pick up my friends.
Whoa.
Very safe. Sorry, Mom. Don't listen to this.
Tony Danza's producers are walking around. Right? This seems like a great place for a high school. Look at this girl. She's baked out of her gourd.
And she's still that straight
held back? Are you being held back? We got a class for you. Tony Danza's going to be here.
Right. Exactly.
Still got straight A's. Yeah.
I did. I was a total pothead. I got straight A's and I cut class almost every single day. I would like walk out. I was a terrible high school student. I would like walk out through the lunchroom. I would go across the street and I would get like a cheesesteak, or I'd get pizza there was like a pizza shop there. Or I would get Burger King and I would just get lit. And then I would walk back through this like other back entrance. I was a really bad kid. It was a bad school.
Interesting. Did you do any extracurriculars? Now, if you heard about your grades, but I want to hear about some, did you do any after school or before school or weekend?
Actually, you know, it's funny that you ask, Alex, because I played sports my entire life, like since I was 4 years old, like softball, basketball. I'm short. No one can see me, but I am really short. So you'd probably be surprised to hear that I played basketball because I'm 5 feet tall.
Hey, teach their own, you know?
Hey, exactly. I did basketball. I did soccer, field hockey. And then the end of ninth grade, I got stoned for the first time. And then
the Frisbee team.
I thought to myself, I can feel music. I don't just hear music. I feel it inside my soul. And I'm going to quit all sports and I'm going to join orchestra.
All right. What'd you play?
I played cello.
Cello. Oh, nice.
I played cello.
That's a good way to get some exercise, you know?
I gained 50 pounds in high school because I stopped playing sports. I started smoking pot and I was eating cheesesteaks every day. And I legit gained 50 pounds. Like I went from being like super thin and then all of a sudden I was just super thick.
I guess it's the sort of thing like a tuba you have to actually carry around, but a cello has a wheel.
It's the one you sit down to play. And so I'm sitting
I know. I'm thinking about people that like lug it around and stuff. Right. And it's so enormous. Not like a violin, obviously. That's not going to replace field hockey. But yeah, the cello is on a wheel, right? It's got one wheel.
I didn't have a fancy case with a wheel, but maybe somewhat. I think you're thinking of a bass, A bass is a little bit larger. Yeah, that's why I said it's the one that sits down, because the bass, they look almost identical, but bass is just a hair larger.
And you're
playing standing up, and then that is going to be too big to sort of lug. So people would have that on a wheel. But the cello I sort of just carried with my huge muscles from playing sports for 10 years.
What's the one that looks like a old timey hat and is like tiny and it's like, you know what I mean?
A banjo?
That's it.
Yeah.
Do they have that in orchestra?
I don't think we had a banjo player.
Bluegrass orchestra? No. Okay.
We were a Philly orchestra. So.
yeah, right.
We didn't
do
that.
Play Philadelphia Freedom or anything like that?
We did. We actually did. Yeah. The marching band did. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I never joined any of those things. I can't. I don't know shit about music. I think I played drums for a summer. That was it. Yeah. That's cool. How long did you play the cello?
I was about to say, I played it for 3 years and I actually did really well, I'll say. Not to brag, but I'm a bragger. So I did really well. I went from never having played an instrument my whole life to then by the end of my senior year, after 3 years of playing, I was sitting in first chair, which means that I was like leading the section. So I was like the number one player.
Yeah. Yeah. First chair. I understand. That's great. That's phenomenal. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah,
so interesting. So wait, then where did you, after high school, where'd you go from there? Did you stay in the Northeast? Philly? You stayed in Philly.
I went away for 4 years.
I went
to college for 4 years in Pittsburgh. So not too far.
Oh, got you.
Just across the state. And I did my time there and I hated it. I hated the city. And I was like, I was just so excited to get back to Philadelphia. And I've never left since. And I like never want to leave again.
Yeah, Philly's dope. Yeah, Pittsburgh, though. Where'd you go in Pittsburgh?
I went to University of Pitt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I went to Pitt. Yep. University of Pitt. Studied sociology and American Sign Language.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, you should see her, everybody. She's signing everything. The whole time. No.
Yeah. Sorry, now I'm conceiving.
I'm amazing.
Yeah.
That's so cool, though, knowing American. I'm so impressed. Sociology, whatever. No, I'm kidding. That's impressive, too. But American Sign Language is amazing. My grandfather was deaf for, 80-something years, 85 years. But he didn't know it. I mean, we never learned. We had a lot of American Sign Language alphabet posters like in everybody's house. So like none of us ever, including him, learned it.
Well, he probably had a bad experience because he's still living.
No, he passed away. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. He became deaf pretty very young, you know, of course. And difficult in the 30s and 40s, whatever, 40s, I guess. But he became a chemist. So he kind of,
Ooh, good for
things
him.
That are, obviously you could focus on your work and there's a different type of communication, going on. So it's like reporting, researching, to collecting data. It's like documentation. I don't know. There was, and he would communicate. What he would do is you wouldn't speak. He would tell you stories forever. It was the best. I love, it's my grandfather. He was great. Oh, we would have loved him.
What a quirky character. I love that.
Yeah,
it's a shame a lot of people of that age, unfortunately, they weren't given sign language as a tool. They were forced to learn how to lip read and forced to try to talk. And, lip reading, just as I'm sure you're aware with your grandfather, just really wasn't a full way to speak to someone. They wouldn't capture everything. It's not really possible to capture 100% or 80%. I think it's more like a 60% that most people can capture with a lip reading, as it is very difficult.
A million hearing aids and stuff. Aww. And it was definitely he definitely did not like to go to a busy restaurant. Of course, not ideal situation. You can't really, when there's too much white noise, it was a problem. But it was tough. I mean, we were a lot of yelling in our family. We're already anyway, but just normal conversation is a lot of projection.
Yeah.
it's a theatrical performance every time.
I'm a Jew. We do that anyway. That's like natural for us. It's just being like dramatic. Are you Jewish?
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell my own people. I've bad Judar.
We were Jewish in the way that we converse by yelling. You know what I mean?
100%. And we like holla sometimes. Like that's my level of Judaism.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Like loud and pushy. And then I like matzo ball soup, you know?
That's... Right. I eat holla with bacon. You know, that's
I do vegan bacon, but I'm with you.
yeah, right. That's kind of, we're not really crazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
We like it. I feel like the older I get, the further my immediate family gets from Judaism. And but we have cousins that maybe that are still more, I think, just as Jewish as I was, kind of like as a very young, I don't know, person. It's not something that really was in my family. My mom at one point was like, oh, I didn't want to deprive you of religion. And now it's like none of us are religious, but you spent time at the synagogue, spent time at the town temple in Concord, Massachusetts, Kerem Shalom, whatever. You know, I know a handful of Yiddish phrases that my dad likes to throw around because he's from Brooklyn. You know what I mean? It's not
what
crazy.
Are your favorite Yiddish phrases? Hit me.
Oh, I definitely like took us off on tish.
What does that mean? I've never even heard that one.
It basically means put your ass on the table. Took us off on tish.
That's is it, like,
I mean, I'm probably going like gabagool or whatever. And, blah, blah, blah.
Is it like a you're showing your ass type of thing?
It means like show me the money kind of.
Oh,
it
I
means
see.
Like put your money where your mouth is.
I'm with you.
Put your ass on the table.
The
you know,
idiom.
You'd say
okay.
That poker game or something, I'd say. That's a big one for me. And then another one is hocking your chinik, breaking your teapots and busting your balls.
I've never even heard that one either.
My dad could just be making these up. He does oikovoltish a lot, which is not
that's
a
not
word.
A word.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's what we make fun of him for is like that. Another good one is Vishmaksta. You know that one?
I don't, but I love your dad's joke. I'm still cackling over it. Like, I love a dad joke. You know what I mean? Like, my brand of comedy would be like a brand. It would be dad joke. Like, that's how late my acting going.
Anyway,
hit me one.
That one's like,
what was the last one?
Vishmaksta.
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 It's like, what's up?
Oh,
how you
Vishmaksta.
Doing? Yeah,
it sounds like an insult, though. It just sounds like schmuck,
I know.
You know?
Yeah, which is also a great one.
Which is a
great
one.
You got a favorite?
I don't know. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I like schmuck. I like schmear.
Schmear.
I guess I like the S and the H's. I say oy vey a lot, for sure.
Same.
I say schwitz. Why do I like the S-H's? I guess that's my thing.
What about spiel? That's one that
spiel.
I really like, too.
That's
oh, spiel is Yiddish? I never
spiel.
Think about that.
Yeah,
I say spiel.
So
Jared,
many...
is that your phrase? Favorite?
That's probably the one I use the most, for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you're super baked.
He's so Jewish, yeah. Kieran,
yeah,
that's
right.
The
Kieran.
Opposite of a Jewish name. yeah, it's funny because I think a lot of people, I was thinking about this recently, I think a lot of people use Yiddish phrases unknowingly.
Right.
And like, not that I'm like, oh my God, it's cultural appropriation. It's whatever. It's all good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's fine.
It's cultural appropriation,
kind of,
no.
You know, nobody cancel me for saying this, but it does kind of feel like cultural appropriation. Like, imagine if like white people were doing that with any other language. And also, let me just, I'm sorry, now I am going on a Jewish rant.
I'm
for a
canceling
second.
All
but,
of them.
Yeah, fuck them. And then so people use it all the time. And then, you know, it's sort of like also, it's a dead language that died because of the Holocaust, right? So.
Yeah, I've heard somebody told me once that it's like, it's just in, I mean, kind of like what we're saying in English. Now it's not really a dead language. It's a, you know, it's been, I don't want to say appropriated, it's co-opted, you know, into German and into English, you know, into multiple languages, that it's now just, these are words in the English language, you know. I don't really give a shit. I'm not very Jewish.
No, it's like, fine. It's
I don't give a shit.
I had this ironic moment because the other day, someone who's known me for years was like, oh, I'm eating my schmear, and they weren't Jewish. And then a moment later, mispronounced my full last name, which is Kappenstein, and they said Kappenstein. And I was like, you don't get to say schmear and then Kappenstein me, you know?
I still do that. I'm so bad at that. I'm so bad at remembering. I know.
That's why I go by Sam Cap for my stage name. I'm just like, don't mess up my last name. I don't want a bunch of non-Jews being like, Paperstein? Like, I'm not playing this game with you.
Yeah. My full name is Alex Eisengrubarden Bergstein.
Stop.
No, I'm kidding. Why would I go? Why would my stage name be Grubard?
Grubard, you know? Yeah.
Grubard. Nobody knows it. I stop correcting people in a way.
Yeah.
I'm like, just go with it. Go with your gut.
It's Grubard, like, right?
How do I do that? Grubard. Here's the other thing. So disconnected from your history and ancestry necessarily, who knows? Because it's one of those I've tried to look up where it comes from and that kind of thing. And it's like, there isn't a lot of stuff on it. So it's clearly just been broken at one point from another name, I'm sure. Oh, it's whatever.
I look so sad for anyone who honestly can't see us. That's why he said that.
I'm like, yeah, I never knew what my great, great, great grandparents were called in Russia during the Tsar Alexander or whatever the hell. Who the hell knows? I don't know.
Wait, Alex. That's why I look so sad, because I do know the history of my last name. It's kind of unique. My last name comes from the Russian word kapusta, which means cabbage. Back in the old country, when my family came over in like the early 1900s, about 120 years ago, whatever. And then when they moved to America, just like everyone at that time when they moved to America, they were like, we don't want our names to sound Jewish, so we're going to change them to all these names that end in Stein and Berg.
Oh, gosh.
Which then ended up sound, because they were trying to sound German. But then all those names ended up sounding both, but, you know, a lot of times Jewish. And so, you know, so they did that. So they changed it from Kapusta, they changed it to then Pappenstein. And
wow.
And so then that's where they got that. It's really interesting. We're like a unique... it's a unique last name. No other family in the world has the last name, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. Yeah, my mom's family is a similar kind of thing. Basically, but what happened was they were Yalowitz from a Yalowitz tree, you know, pretty standard. And then at Ellis Island, it was changed to Yalman, which is Turkish. Happens to be Turkish, like not something that I think was trying to be done, but my mom's family just gets calls from people that are like, oh, you're Turkish, I found you in the phone book. And it's like, no, we're not, we just messed it up back in the day. We're baked at Ellis Island and we fucked it up. What's your family name? Okay, we'll write that down. No, I have no idea. I mean, whatever. I don't. It's as far as I'm concerned, most of my family are just there. New York Jews, and Chicago Jews, and that's.
Oh, I love a New York Jew.
Yeah, right. And then I got a little bit of some exotic Chicago in there, Hedgewick, Illinois, or whatever.
Love a Chicago Jew. Didn't know there were any out there.
Yeah, it was news to me. But my grandfather loves to talk, you know. Anyway, here's what I wanted to ask. So when did you get back to Philadelphia? Around what year?
You know? 2012, I moved back to Philadelphia.
She's coming up on a decade back.
Oh my God, don't make me sound old, first of all.
I didn't mean that.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, almost a decade out of college. It is a minute. And I like wanted to get the hell out of there. I graduated in April 2012. And like by May, I was back in Philly.
Philly is crazy. Well, that's one reason I moved to Philly for the second time, but I moved to Philly in 2011 and I was there for 7 years, and it was just like a really great time to be in Philadelphia. I'm sure it always was. Like Philly is a very cool town. It's got a lot of culture. Yeah. And I just think like, I remember getting there in around that time and being like, this is like the, you know, just a phenomenal place to be. I remember when I got there, I picked up the Philadelphia Weekly. I had just moved to town. I opened the paper and it was like the cover story or something was population in Philadelphia rises for the first time in like 50 years or something, some unbelievable amount of time. And it was just like, Philly's coming up. There's a lot going on. It's super exciting. When I moved there around then, there was still a lot of warehouse party atmosphere. There was a big culture like that in West Philly still. But I feel like that was over with, maybe it's still going on, but in my world, it was over within a couple of years. But I don't know. I mean, it was just like a really fun, exciting. I came from, you know, Brooklyn, and it was just like things had gotten to Hollywood there, in my opinion. And so Philly was such a like eye-opening place, like just a breath of fresh air. So I don't know. It's just an exciting time to live there. I still growing.
Yeah, it's always fun to live in Philly, and it's always ever-changing. When you say warehouse parties in West Philly, are you talking about those cannabis parties at the One Arts Community Center that used to take
Not
place with Smoke Down Prohibition and NA Poe?
Oh, well,
no.
Smoke Down Prohibition, yes.
Yeah. And like NA Poe and
warehouse.
That.
Yeah, I mean, Poe. So here's a Philly question. You know NA Poe?
Sure, yeah. He used to come into my head
mind right now.
He used to come into my head shop, and then when they were throwing those parties, they would get like swag from us, all of those guys, Chris Goldstein and him and Chris Whittier, Whiter. I'm messing up his name. I'm sorry if they're listening to this.
These
I apologize.
Guys.
Don't hate me. And so that whole crew would come through, and they would come to my head shop at that time. So now we're fast forwarding a few years as well. But
tell me.
But at that time, I was working at Munchie's Head Shop on South Street. So South Street has a ton of head shops. There's like literally everywhere you look, there's these crappy sort of corner stores that have like that the shittiest glass that you can imagine. And then, you know, there were a few nice ones, like Munchie's was one of the first nice ones that had been there for like a decade. And really was just a unique one. We sold super high end glass. We sold stuff that was like valued at $17,000, you know, really expensive bongs, stuff from Illadelph and stuff from a lot of really unique artists. So they would come through and we would like donate swag and stuff that they would raffle off at a lot of those parties back when they were trying to get, you know, cannabis decriminalized and then to get, medical marijuana, which we got 2017, I think, or 2016. They were throwing these sort of parties, and did you ever used to go to them, Alex? Any of those events that they threw?
Smoke Down Prohibition?
Yeah.
I definitely performed at a couple even, at Underground Arts.
Yeah,
I mean,
cool.
It's tough to say what was specifically for the organization and what was, I don't remember. I remember performing in West Philly at like a sort of fundraiser of some kind. But again, I mean, this is years ago. I think actually it was decriminalized, I'm pretty sure, in 2015. This is a while ago, you know what I mean? Like these types of shows. So yeah, I remember doing Underground Arts. I remembered and Poe, I mean, I had this podcast and so I met Poe at Occupy.
Oh,
Occupy
cool.
Philly. They were him and one or two other comics. One of my roommates who was not a comic was spent like a time in a tent down there. And like, so I would go down and I remember filming a comedy video with a couple of guys and, you know, it's just friends in town and stuff that they asked me to be and whatever. You know, I don't know what we were doing. People were always down there for all sorts of stuff. It was right in at City Hall.
Right.
So you pass it all the time. And yeah, I remember meeting Poe there. And then like I knew Poe. Then I knew him for a long time, you know. And like I never went to a sandwich shop, which I think still exists. Poe's sandwich joint. Yeah, so that's a great plug for him. Yeah, because I don't live in Philly anymore, so that's why I haven't been. But it's still on my list. I will go one day, and I'm stoked. Now that we're talking about it, I'm like, I got to go do that.
Yeah, you should.
I'll tell everybody about how it went.
I've heard the sandwiches are dope. I don't think they have anything vegan, although I've seen some veggie options, but everything I've heard people love their food with. Their sandwiches are amazing. So
they look really good.
They
I've
look
seen
really
it
good.
On Instagram and stuff. And, yeah,
same. Yeah,
but
they
that's
look delicious.
Cool. Poe went to Munchies. That's good to know, too. That's honestly a good plug for Munchies. Is it still around?
Yeah, Munchies is still around. It's at 244 South Street. The owner, Uzi, is a, I will not hesitate to say, he's a crazy Israeli man. And
okay.
I love him.
God. Oi, vey. Oi, voltish.
Exactly. He's just going there knowing he's a crazy Israeli man, but he's fine and he's harmless.
That's good.
But yeah, he has very nice glass and very nice products, and he's extremely knowledgeable on the industry and the business. But I managed that shop for 5 years. Prior to that, I worked at Artifacts for 2 years, which if anyone lives in Philly or is from Philly, it's like was one of the first head shops in the city of Philadelphia. So that and Wonderland, which is downtown.
Wonderland, I know.
They were the first two.
Artifacts.
It's in the Northeast.
Okay.
On Cotman Avenue. So they were the first two head shops in the city.
Oh, interesting.
They have.
Yeah. I was going to say, where do you work now?
So now I work for a doctor's office that certifies patients for their medical marijuana cards. So I work for the MMJ Advocate Doc's office.
Oh, MMJ.
Yeah, MMJ Advocate Doc's office. So we're here in Pennsylvania. We only certify patients in PA. So unfortunately, if anyone's listening in a different state, I'm sorry. We can't take care of you. But if you're in PA, in anywhere in the state, we can certify patients there. We do a fully virtual telehealth practice. So it's been a really fascinating journey. I did that. I've done it for like about two years coming up. Actually, this month, I think, is 2 years. So that's pretty cool. We were doing in-person events before the pandemic. So we would do these discounted certification events, and we would do them at like hemp cafes or, hemp CBD stores and stuff like that. So those were really fun. And then obviously the pandemic shut all that down, and we had to, reconsider how we would work the business. And the doctor decided to go fully virtual. And so, so now we're able to take care of patients on a virtual level, which is awesome.
Amazing. Because, it's great.
Yeah. We all work from home and.
Yeah.
And
there
we
used to be a time
everywhere.
We had to call a guy, meet up with him, wait for them, No, that's amazing.
Right.
Virtual. Love
it. Yeah. It's cool.
That's really cool. Where do people find that?
So you can find us on our website, which is mmjadvocatedoc.com. And that has all the information that you would need. If you're already a patient in the program, patients can just schedule their recertification appointments right on our website. If they're a new certification, they want to become a patient, they would have to reach out to me and I would be able to take care of them and assist them and go over the details that they need to move forward with that process. But it's not very complicated. In PA, we have like 23 qualifying diagnoses that range from like anxiety to cancer, HIV, autism. There's just a really wide range of diseases that folks could have to be certified. And a lot of patients benefit so much. Chronic pain, of course, is a qualifier.
Got you. Great. Cool. Well, I think I'm ready to make an assumption about the last time you smoked. I don't know. Kieran, how do you feel?
I've been listening this whole time pretty intently. And Sam, I'm not sure if you've ever smoked weed.
Says it, yeah, I understand. Just putting on a show. Can you smoke weed and work for MMJ Advocate? Well, I'm going to go the opposite, and I'm going to say I think you smoked right before we started recording, probably multiple times out of maybe multiple things. That's my assumption. I think the last time you smoked was, this afternoon, late afternoon, I'll say, that close, but at least today. I mean, I'm going to go, if it was just the morning, I'm going to say I'm wrong. Late afternoon is what I'm going to say. Reveal it for us. Tell us.
I took a fat dab right before I started recording. That's why I was 2 minutes late. And I have been smoking on my hybrid vape pen this whole time we've been sitting here.
Oh, well, there you go.
Just damn, very energetic.
Here.
So close.
So close. Well, thank you so much for being here. Yeah, go. Do you have anything else you want to plug? That was mmjadvocatedoc.com.
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much again for having me. I really appreciate it. Folks can find me on Instagram. I'm at Sam Kapp Comedy. Kapp is with a K, Sam Kapp Comedy. And I also have a podcast that's on the all streaming platforms called Sam We Are Podcast. We have some really cool guests that we get to interview. I'm definitely going to bring Alex on whenever he's ready. And we bring on some really cool guests that we interviewed today. We just released an episode with Keith Villa, who's the founder of Blue Moon Brewing Company, who now runs Syria Brewing Company, which has non-alcoholic beer that's available in all states. And also they make THC and CBD infused non-alcoholic beer sold in Colorado and California. So he was a really great guest. He just was on the podcast and that launched today, which is the 21st of October, but you could find it again on all streaming platforms. And thank you again so much for having me. This was really fun. I appreciate you.
Well, hell yeah. Thanks for being here. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Kieran, you want to plug anything real quick?
Sure. If anyone has any questions about podcasts or wants my help with producing their podcasts, you can find me on Instagram at KIERANGANNON.
Bam. Definitely do that. Yeah, you can find everything about Weeding Out the Stoned at live.weedingoutthestoned.com. You can find us on Facebook. We're at Weeding Out the Stoned on Instagram, at Weeding Stoned on Twitter. The next live Weeding Out the Stoned takes place. It's at Asylum NYC in New York City. It's a part of the New York Comedy Festival. It's Sunday, November 14th at 9 p.m. So grab tickets at asylumnyc.com or our website. And, you know, follow us. There's ticket links up there. Feel free to Google it even. But yeah, thanks for listening. Please, you know, leave us a review, subscribe, all that stuff. Enjoy your life. Smoke them if you got them, they say. And yeah, peace. We'll see you next time. All these people standing around.